Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
And therefore, I want to preach. Tell somebody I want to preach. All right, go with me into your Bibles from Ezekiel 36, verse number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 36, verse number 37 is our key scripture for the month. Wow. I want you to help me read since I don't have my screen here. Okay, let's go. It says that, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like flocks. Wow, I didn't hear that. So God has spoken this man that he will increase us with men like flocks. Hallelujah. So God has spoken, and whenever he speaks, everything hears, and everything does what? Responds. Hallelujah. And once God has spoken, then he will bring it to an expected end. This month on the Sundays we are looking at, it is not a big deal for God to double our church this month. Oh, I didn't hear amen on that. It is not a big deal for God to double the membership of this church this month, because he has spoken that he will increase us with men like what? Like flocks. Shall we bow down our heads in prayer? Our Father and our God, our Master, our Savior, our Jesus, our everything, this morning we have gathered in your name. The scripture says that blessed is he who comes in the name of our Lord. We are blessed because we came. And we'll be blessed more, especially when your word feeds us, strengthens and encourages, equips and guides, leads and help us to be able to walk the path that you have destined for us. Holy Spirit, this is your moment. And we ask you to brood over us, move in your soul liberty. Touch every heart. Let your word come in power and in strength. Release untold revelations of your word unto us. May we be blessed, Lord, as we hear your word. Take us from one level of our life to another level. Give us an intimacy with you. May we be able to learn more of you and become like you. Jesus, we thank you for this moment. Even in your presence, say to somebody, my neighbor, I'm happy and excited to see you. Wow, you're looking good. I like your shirt, I like your shoe, I like your top, I like your hair. Come on, find something nice and tell about a person. No, I like it. Oh, come on, I appreciate it. Say, neighbor, I know you are the right place and at the right time. I know this morning you will not miss your blessings. Come on, that is weak. I know this morning you will not miss your blessing. Jesus is all that you need to have all your needs met. In Jesus' name, just give them a high five and have a seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. We started our series, I mean, basically on last Wednesday, when we understood from the scriptures that every prophetic word, like what God has spoken to us this month, that says that I would increase you with men like flocks, which suggests that God intends to double our membership this month. And you say that it is not a big deal for me. It is not a big deal for me. It is not a big deal for me. Tap somebody and say, it is not a big deal for me. Why is it not a big deal for God? Because in Jeremiah 32, verse number 27, he says that, behold, I am the Lord, and the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult or too hard for me? Behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too difficult? So God said that it is not a big deal. It is not a big deal for me to double your membership or our membership this month. Again, in Mark chapter number 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, you say to me, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me. All things are possible for the one that believes and trusts in me. So when we come to the place of prophetic season where God is speaking his word unto us, we must come to believe. Tell somebody, I must come to believe. In that case, faith is what delivers every prophetic word. Faith is what delivers every prophetic word. Without faith, no prophetic word can be delivered. Or every prophetic word delivers by faith. When God speaks, it does not automatically get fulfilled, but it only gets fulfilled in the life of the one who believes. And therefore, faith is what delivers every prophetic word. In Acts chapter number 27, verse number 25, the Bible says that, so keep up your courage, men, for I believe God, and I have complete confidence in him, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Let's read the King James. It says that, wherefore says, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was so. Praise God. So whenever God speaks, we must have the faith to believe that it will be exactly as he has said it. Is somebody here with me? Now, God has spoken to his church that it is not a big deal for me to double your membership this month. If this prophetic word will be fulfilled, then we need to engage our faith for its delivery. Is somebody here with me? And engaging your faith for delivery means that having confidence in that which God has spoken, that it will turn out to be exactly as he has what? Spoken. Is somebody following me? Now in Luke chapter number 1, verse number 45, we also have a scripture to buttress our point. The Bible says that, and blessed, and to be blessed means to be spiritually fortunate and favored by God, is she who believed and confidently trust that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her by the angel sent from above. The King James says that, and blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Tell somebody, believe. Tell another person, performance. Now, when you believe, it takes you into the realm of blessedness. And here we define blessedness means to be spiritually, favored, or to be spiritually favored by God. To have favor with God means to be blessed. Now, when you come to believe, you come into that realm. And that realm releases every performance of that which was told of you. Now, church, listen. When God speaks a word into our lives, it can be for an individual, it can be for a church. Before that word will come into the state of performance, you need to engage your faith. Somebody's blessed. You need to do what? You need to engage your faith. It will only take your faith for the delivery of that prophetic word in your life. So even as God has spoken, we may not know how God is going to do it, but yet we believe. Oh, your amen is weak. I said, yet we heard, we believe. Because the belief takes us into another realm of the supernatural, where we come to release that which God has for us. Somebody's blessed. Now, without trying to dwell so much on it, we also understand that there are two schools of thoughts. And one happens to be the two major writers to the New Testament. I'm talking about Peter and I'm talking about Paul. Are you understanding me? Now, Paul says that when you come to believe, there is no need of works. There is no need. Once you believe, you have believed. There is nothing like you have to do anything concerning your belief. But then James also came and said that no. For faith to be faith, it has to be proven. Are you understanding me? Now, how do I know you have faith? The only way I know that you have faith is that when you are proven of faith, or you are proving the works of faith. So in James chapter number 2, verse number 18, which I just want us to look at. Now let's start from James 1, verse 1, 6 to 8. James chapter number 1. Now let's go to James 2, 18 first, then we come to James chapter number 1. Yeah. James chapter 2, verse 18. He said that, but someone may say, you have faith and I have good works. Show me, according to the Amplified, your alleged faith without the works. If you can, I will show you my faith by my works. That is by what you do. This is what the King James says. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, And I have what? Works. Okay. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith with all. So there are two schools of thought. One saying that when you have faith, that is all. Another one is saying that no, your faith must be proven by your works. Now, come to think of it, I have realized that faith is oxymoron. When I say oxymoron, it can be tangible and it can be abstract. I mean, there are times that you have faith to believe. And there are times that even your faith upon believing may not necessarily bring that which you need, but it takes your faith to take you through that which you are going through to be able to survive. Are you understanding me? So somebody can believe God for a healing all his life and will never get a healing. But he has forgotten that it took faith for him to even survive the sickness to the time which he lived. Are you understanding me? So faith can be both abstract and can be tangible. Now, how do I know you have faith? The only way I can see your faith is based on the works that you do to prove you have what? Faith. A very typical example, you go to somebody, the person may be sick, and then you pray for the person. You saw the person had drugs that was taken and all that, and you looked at the condition around and you realized actually the guy doesn't have food to eat. Yet he's taking all kinds of drugs. What do? You finish praying. Your pocket is loaded. I mean, your faith to believe that he will be healed. But then, at that particular material moment in time, the person adding to your faith would expect you to do what? To at least give something for him to buy food to do what? To eat. That is what James is trying to say. That faith must be backed by works. It's not your works that is showing your faith. But once you believe, it must demonstrate some kind of action. Are you understanding me? Your faith must demonstrate a kind of action. Now, in comparing it with Paul, the reason why Paul said that works is not needed is that there are people, I mean, with other religions, you realize that the more they try to do certain things, the more they think they are pleasing God. For example, the number of times I can pray and I can fast determines how well I am doing in terms with God. Are you understanding me? And Paul said that no, it is just by grace through what? Faith. You don't need to work before you come to have faith with God. But James is saying that when you come to believe that which God has spoken, when you have faith in you, that faith in you must be shown in your works. Have I established my point? Do you understand where I'm going? Now, God this month has spoken to us. And he says that it is not a big deal for me, God, to double your membership this month. And everybody say amen on that.
Amen.
The fact that you said amen means that you believe. And you want to engage your heart, your faith. Are you understanding me? Now, how do I know that you believe? How do I know that you have received? It must show in what you do. Somebody's blessed. Now, as God has spoken, what are the things that must be demonstrated? That must show that indeed we have believed that God says, this month I will double your membership. What are the things? Number one, tell somebody number one. Now go to James chapter 1, verse number 6 to 8. James chapter 1, verse number 6 to 8. James chapter 1, verse number 6 to 8. Now everybody lift your head after you have written it. He said that, but let him ask in. Oh, come on. I thought I was speaking to somebody. Let him do what? Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and what? Tossed. Now go to verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Are you with me? Now, everybody go with me. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, the first thing that James is telling us, that anytime you come to engage your faith for the delivery of any prophetic word in your life, ask in faith. Now, the word ask in faith means pray in faith. Pray in faith. Remember, no prophetic word delivers by itself. It has to be engaged by faith. Now, what is the proof that you believe that word? Ask in faith. Now, he says that he compared somebody who is unstable. The Bible says that person is tossed by any other wind from one end to another. He just moved. He's unstable. Because he's unstable because he's not asking in faith. It means that he's not believing totally. He has not really put all reliance on the word of God. He has not put all confidence in the word of God. So will this be possible? Will this even work? Is it God who really said it? Can God really double our number this month? Hey, God, is it possible? The Bible says that if you waver, that person should not expect anything from the Lord. Are you following me? Now, even as we're talking about what God has spoken prophetically this month over the church, remember that for your life as an individual, God has spoken in your life. There's something God intends to do with you. But as a matter of fact, you must come to understand this, that look, before that thing can come to pass, you must ask in faith. So what should I do? You must be praying, expectant, answered prayers. Write it. Expectant, answered prayers. You must be praying, expectant, answered prayers. Look at the words and the phrase. Don't miss it. Praying, expectant, answered prayers. That means that there are some prayers that we pray that are not expectant. Are you with me? Do you know that there are sometimes we pray and we think that God will do it, but not now. God will do it, but some days to come. But God says that whenever your faith is engaged, do not waver. Do not think that I will do it the other day or next time. But then the Bible says that faith is now. Are you understanding me? Are you following me? So you must learn to engage your faith for the delivery of that prophetic word. How do you prove it? You believe by your proofs. So how do you prove it? You must start praying what? You must start praying what? So what is God expecting of us? For everybody that believes that it is not a big deal for God to double this membership this month, what do you have to do? What is the first proof? Come on, say it with confidence. Doing what? Doing what? Praying, expectant, answered prayers. Lord, we believe. And Lord, you will do it. Praise God. Praise God. So for everyone called Manna, when I say everyone called Manna, every member of this church who believes that it is not a big deal for God to double this membership this month, what you need to do is to start praying expectant answered prayers. Expectant answered prayers. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. Lord, we thank you. You are bringing the souls. You wake up in the morning, you start praying. You go to work, you pray. You come back, you pray. Walking by the streets, you pray. Earphones in your ears, you pray. Lord, Lord, we believe. This man, you are multiplying and increasing us with men as flocks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You see, as you are doing that, then your heart, you are fulfilling the delivery of God's word into our church. Somebody's blessed. Amen. The second proof, you see, and I like what James is saying. It's very true. Because I can't look at your face and say you have faith. Look at somebody and find out whether the person has faith. Amen. I can only know you have faith by the kind of prayers you heard. You pray. Amen. You know, there are some people who are praying, but they still don't believe it will work. I've heard many times. Prayer is more like a wishful word. But prayer shouldn't be so. It must be expectant. It must be all. Somebody's blessed. Now, to be also fast on that, what again must prove this? What must prove this? What must prove this? What must prove that we have faith in what God has said? Go with me to Jude chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. And then again, John chapter 4, verse 35 to 36. Jude 1, 22. Now everybody go with me. It says that, and of some have what? Making a difference. Wow. Tell somebody, I will make a difference. Now go with me to, John chapter number 4, verse 35 and 36. The Bible says that, say not ye, there are yet what? There are yet what? I'm preaching with you today now. But he says that, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to do what? To harvest. Wow! Tell somebody, wow! When something is ready, what do you do? When something is ready, what do you do? He said that, don't say that we have a lot of time. We have a lot of days. We have many time. Oh, Pastor, at least we are just in September. We have many days to serve God. Why should we force ourselves and do God to double this attendance or membership only this month? See that. That is what the word of God says. That we have more months, more years. Praise God. Because the harvest is white ready. Who are the harvest? The harvest are the souls of men that must be saved. That must be here as you are here. That must also make it to heaven like you are going to heaven. Are you with me? So long as there are people yet to be saved, the harvest is also ready. Praise God. So don't give excuses. That is what he's trying to say. Don't give excuses. Don't run away from your responsibilities. Take hold and take charge. Rise up. Lift up your eyes. The harvest is what? Ready. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Beloved, we don't have much time here on this earth. We don't have what? Much time. We don't have much time. Prior to this scripture, Jesus has spoken about it. Go to verse 34 and let me quickly, do a quick reference before we continue. Now, look at what Jesus said. Everybody read with me. Jesus said unto them, my meat. Hallelujah. Say, my meat. The meat there is not Nigerian. Praise God. It is not Nigerian. But Jesus wants to say that what I do daily, like eating, what I do daily, I wake up in the morning and my desire, all that I want to do, all that I want to have, is to do the will of him that did what? That sent me. Do you know that you are on earth as a missionary? You are on earth here as what? This earth of this world is a journey. Nobody would last forever. See yourself like that. God sent you here on this world as a missionary. There's a time you came and there's a time I've always been telling people, this is a young church, a youth church. But let me tell you something. The youngest person here should add at least 60 years to his or her age, or 70 years at most to his or her age. You will be no more on the surface. 40 years now, my days are numbered. If God should grant me yet another 40 years, which I know it will come like this, how would I look? Imagine. Praise God. You are laughing. We are in the same soup. Amen. Never think that you're going to stay ever young and fresh like you're looking now. God should grant me 50 more years. Let me say I will drop 90. It will still come to an end. Jesus said, whilst I live, I must do the will of him that sent me. The will of him that sent me is not the work you are doing. No. It's not the work of the business that you are involved. It's not the school you are going. It is not anything so important. Those things doesn't matter to God. It does not matter one bit, because when all is said and done and you appear before him, he will not ask you of the work you did here on earth as pertaining the job that you always rise up early morning, giddy, 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 ati praga. When we tell you anything, oh, Charlie, I'm going for work. I'm going to work. God will not ask you any of. But what in your life you did for God, How many souls? When you came to believe, how many people also came to believe because of you? Is somebody here with me? So Jesus said, "Lord, as for me, I will not waste my time. My will, my meat is to do the will of him that did what? Sent me." And I was telling the people the other day that, look, one scripture that really challenged me and moved me every morning when I woke up and I was about to go to work. And I feel so weak within me. I feel so tired. And I feel, I just don't want to go to the work. I mean, my interest, my zeal, and my passion that I had for banking, everything has just left me. Boom. Master, I really had passion for banking. I did my best. I did my best. I told you about the competition that was organized by Ecobank. I mean, many years, those were the days when they were trying to e-alert. How many of you have e-alert on your phone? When it came as at the time when I was around. That was the time it started. And it was a nationwide competition that they want the staff member who will be able to input, because those times we've opened a lot of accounts that we didn't have. I mean, we haven't inputted their phone numbers into the system so that they can have alerts based on their transaction. So we had to go back to all our previous, accounts that we have opened, bring out their files and input their phone numbers into the system so that the system can prompt them. And you can imagine, every branch, they were looking for the one who will be able to do, more and come out best. I say it to the glory of God, I was best. And you know what? I woke up like 6. By 6:15, I'm at the office. I'll be the last person to leave there. Master, human divinity. I loved it. If not anything at all, the tie and then the coat. What a decent job. Tell someone, what a decent job. But one day, I listened to a video by Rick Warren on purpose-driven life. And he told a story of how his father served the Lord and lived for God, and he went on doing missionary work even at the age of 80 years, building churches, old man, building churches. And at one point he used this scripture and he said, there was a man in John chapter 1 verse 4. There was a man who was sent from God. And the Bible says that this man came to testify about the light. There was a man whose name was John. There was a man whose name was John. And all that John came to do here on earth was to testify about the light. And the Bible says at the end, he was killed. It doesn't matter how he was killed. He has finished his work. Could it be said of you that there was a man who ever lived whose name Polycarp, and this man came to testify about the light? He was not just a banker or a lawyer or any profession you can think of, but he came to testify about the light. Can this be said of you? You are a man and a woman on a mission. Is anybody here with me? Come on, say, I am a man or a woman on a mission. God has sent you here for a purpose. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I'm not against work. I'm not against making money. But if that becomes your number one priority, you have failed. You have what? You have failed completely. In fact, you have failed the God who brought you to this world as a missionary. Do you know that many ambassadors failed their nation or their president? And they are withdrawn immediately. When you go and you're not able to do what was expected of you, you are called back home. You are called back home. Many of us are not living up to expectation because we have changed the reason why God brought you to this world. Let me tell you, I was asking the people, of all that you are working for, trying to gain and have, which of them will it go with you when you are dead and gone and you are being buried? One person crying from to another, one person. Not even a penny will be put in your grave. Even whilst you are still alive and sick, family members will start looting your properties and sharing them here and there. Where is your strength to defend yourself? You are dying. Don't waste your time. Do something for God whilst you live. Is anybody here with me? So what is the proof? I'm not even finished with the scripture. So it was based on this understanding. Jesus came to the 35 and then went to 36. Jesus was talking about souls. He said that, and he that reapeth receiveth what? Wages. That is the only assignment in scripture, in the kingdom of God, that attracts direct wages. That is the only assignment. He that reapeth receives wages. It means pay. Whenever you do it, God rewards you. You don't wait till it's accumulated at the end of the month and you take it. No. Anytime you become obedient in reaching out to people, winning souls, telling them about Christ, bringing them to church, the Bible says you receive what? Wages. Somebody's blessed. Let me quickly finish the scripture. So he said that he gathered fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that what reapeth may what rejoice. So the question is, what is the second proof of your faith in that what God has spoken? What is the second proof of your faith? The second proof of your faith is this. I want you to write, those of you writing, is making passionate moves in reaching out to the lost. Making passionate moves in reaching out to the lost. Making passionate moves. What did Jude say? Put Jude right there. Put Jude right there. Put Jude right there. What did Jude say? Are you following me? He said that, and of some have what? Compassion. Have compassion. Passionate move. Passionate move. Let it be something of importance. Because the world is dying. People are dying without knowing Christ. People are losing out. The other day I said, if you have a cure to cancer and you see people dying of cancer, who shall he be called? Who shall he be called?
Answer me, who shall you be called? Are you a wicked person? You are. You see, now let us not take things for granted. We have what it takes to save and to cure the world. Are you not blessed here? No, come on. Are you not blessed as a child of God? Don't you have a peace of mind as a child of God? Are you not enjoying life at least to some level that God has made grace available? What about those who are not here? Those who are walking by the streets, your colleagues at work, the people you know, who at this time are walking by the roadside, Sunday morning jogging. They are total. When I come to church and I see them, I pray for them. Sunday morning jogging. Sunday morning jogging. With the pretense that I'll go to church later. Obua, Obi, we know our prayer. Sunday morning football. May God have mercy. You have a brother. Instead of him coming to church with you, say, I'm going to play football and come. And eventually, he will never show up. This person is going to die and go to hell. What are you doing about it? Somebody's blessed. Now, let's continue. So, James is saying that this is important. If you say you believe or you come to engage your faith for the delivery of the prophetic word, number one, pray expectant word, answered prayer. Number two, do what? Making what? To do what? Is that your portion this morning? In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, it is not a big deal for God to double the membership of this church this month. Shout amen. Now, if only every manner will believe that we serve God by bringing one way by which we serve God is to bring people to church. Say, one way that we serve God is to bring people. You see, service to God is not in your singing. It's not even in your prayer yet. What is the movement for? Service to God is not in your anything you do here, like your ushering. Say, my ushering. It's not in your ushering. It's not in your technical. Say, it's not in my technical. Why are you afraid of them? Say, it's not in my technical. It's not in my playing of instruments. The number one service we render to God is in the bringing of all people. I thought I would have one person say amen. Amen. So you can sing, which is good. You can usher, which is good. You can be part of technical protocol. Why? If your desire, your meat, it's not to bring people into the house of God. You are not serving and serving well. I didn't hear any amen. Somebody is blessed. Now, if this is the case, then what should we do? What should we do? Go with me to Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 23. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 23. What should we do? Now, this is a very powerful scripture. I want you to flow with me as we go. Once you write it, lift your hand and let's read. You say that, then said he unto him, everybody go, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Wow. So he organized a party and then invited many people. Continue. And sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things. There's somebody, come and eat. This one, it be serve yourself. Buffet. Tell somebody, buffet. Continue. And they all with one consent began to do what? Make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and what? See it. I pray thee, I have me excuse. Wow. So the very first person that was called on to come, or the category of people that were called to come, says that, we have bought a piece of land somewhere. Their mindset and their attention, their will and desire, their meat is to acquire properties. In life, all that they are doing is to be able to have cars, build houses, do this, so that people will know that, Charlie, this guy, he is wealthy. Tell it, my pastor, CB, it means that the land is more important than the party. Is anybody here with me? I pray for you. Something that you die and live here on it, may it never take the place of God in your life. Your amen is weak for me. I said, anything that you think will not go with you to eternity, may it never take the place of God. I said, may it never take the place of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody gives us. Now let's look at other excuses. The verse number 20, be quick on that. And then another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen. Do you know 5 yokes of oxen? Those days, these are in the days, it is the articulators and cars. He said that, and I have to go and I go to prove them. And I pray thee, have me what? Services where the counter, when I don't close early, I can't make it. Where I'm staying is too far. Oh, pastor, I have five oxen. I can't go for evangelism. I can't reach out for papa. Oh, pastor, excuses. Tell somebody excuses. Now he said, and another said, I have what? Married a wife, and therefore I cannot hold. You are a big fool. You are a big fool. Remember, your wife is always with you. Your wife will be always what? With you. So just that moment, and look at this, if he's not a fool, for somebody who has just married, what else will be more enjoyable than taking your wife to the party? Are you understanding the secret? But because he his mindset, you know, there are people like that. So long as it is about church, you'll find excuse without even thinking about it. Because that would be the best environment for you and your wife to do or to chill. Charlie, we'll be at the party invite to me to be quite most often my worry. Who could do we are makoda? And you know, I'm a big fool. I have just married. that marriage, I don't think it will last. Amen. Are you understanding me? Because listen, anything that comes between you and God doesn't last. Mark it anyway. Anything that comes between you and God doesn't last. If you allow your marriage to come between you and God, it will never last. If you allow your work to come between you and your God, you'll be sacked with tears. I'm telling you, gospel fact. Take it from me. Listen, marriage must be a triangle. How many of you have seen a triangle? I'm not talking about right angle, triangle. How many of you remember your geometrics? Amen. How many sides does a triangle have? Three sizes. This, this, and that. There's a point A, point B, and then point C up. God is the point C. The man is point A, and then the woman is what? Point B. Now, before from A to B will be possible, there has to be A to C and B to C. So that there can be A, B. Oh, come on. You didn't do math well. No, do you understand? We have a math teacher here. Amen. And so is everything in your life. Now, the moment there is a break in A and C, it will affect A and B. The moment there is a break in B and C, it will affect B and A. That is it. So anytime you allow anything to come between you and your service to God, then you are on the verge of losing that thing. I'm telling you a gospel fact. But if you allow God first, you put that thing also with God. Top right. Everything, not just marriage alone, everything, your job, your health, your life, everything, everything, everything. Somebody's blessed. So how can you tell me I just got married? So I won't come. Tell him he's a big fool. Amen. Is somebody here with me? Now let's finish the scripture for the sake of time. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, wow, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Now, an inguasia is coming. Can you imagine having thrown a party and nobody showed up? You set the tables, all kinds of foods are available, and yet no one is showing up at least to come and chop for you. Do you know the kind of shame it's associated with? The music sounding, that's that song. The blocks are banging, you know. Meet now, I was that they should have started at maybe 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. About 6, nobody's showing up. What they say. So what he had to do is that just go to the street and gather anyone you find. Those who are poor, those who think that are not qualified, the maimed. I just want people to come and enjoy that which I have for them. Praise God. Let's quickly finish it. And the Bible tells us that. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast what? Commanded. And yet, there is what? So all these people also came and there were still empty what? Spaces. place is not full, more food. Even if everybody should take another pack home, there will still be more and more and more. Then he told them again. Then the Lord said unto the servant, go out into what? Now leave your confinement. Look where the poor and the maimed are. And go a little further. Go and go to the hedges and compel men to come in that my house. So this time you say that the shame is getting too much. The shame is getting too much. Therefore, force people. That is where we had the word anakazo. Force people. Push them. Compel them. By all means, bring them. By all means, do what? Why? Because I don't want my house to be what? You see, this is a parable that Jesus gave. And anytime Jesus gives parable, he gives it in relation to how God relates to his people. God is throwing a party. He has set the table. Food is ready. Music is banging. Everything's set. What an atmosphere. But yet, people like us are giving excuses just to come and enjoy what God has for us. Do you know that the glory of every king is in the multitude of his people? So it is a shame when we come to church and the place is half full, no matter whichever service it is, whether the first service, whether the second service, or Truth Encounter, CTG, Breakthrough Night, whatever. He said that my house should always be filled. Because in the multitude of the people is my what? My glory. So if the people are not filling my house, then they are not showing forth my glory. Is anybody here with me? Do you understand this? So it is important that we know that one of the ways by which we serve God, in fact the best way, is to make sure that we bring people to fill the house of God. Praise God. Praise God. Whichever way, until they get here and they are established, don't stop it. Don't stop it. Praise God. Praise God. So what is the point I'm trying to lay here for the sake of time? My time is up. What point are we trying to lay here? Is that every believer or every member is called to go to the streets compelling people to come to church. Everyone is expected to go to the streets and compel people to come. Somebody's blessed. Your amen is not good for me. John chapter 10 verse 16. John chapter 10 verse 16. He said that, and other sheep I have. Which everybody read with me. Come on, so that I know you are here. Go. Somebody's blessed. He says, and other sheep, which I have, which are not here, direction. Those who are sight, who needs to what? Do you know that Jesus also died for them? And they also need to be here. He said that them also must I heard bring. Somebody is blessed. So if you are not doing that way God wants you to do, then you have missed your vision and your purpose in life. Somebody smile to me with a big amen.
Amen.
You see, you are not smiling. Wow. Now, you must understand that if this is what God, through his word, Jesus is telling us today, then one may not be equipped yet to preach. Because somebody may say that, Pastor, I don't know how to preach. Pastor, I cannot preach. I cannot memorize a scripture yet. Praise God. I am shy, Pastor. I am shy. Say, I'm shy. Do you know that it doesn't take you to know you are shy? Do you know that? So anybody who says I'm shy, eventually is not shy one minute. Oh yes. It doesn't take you to know that you are hot. That makes you fake. Amen. Yeah. Somebody is blessed. But what? You, as I said, you can't preach yet. You can't memorize scriptures yet. But what you can do is to invite people to church to meet with Jesus Christ. Invite people to what? To church. You cannot preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You don't know all these things. But how can I, Pastor? He says, invite them. Call them in. Call them in. Call them in. And when you call them in, they will meet with Jesus Christ. And their lives will never be the same. Somebody is blessed. Let's see example and I bring my whole message to a close. Let's see example. So our part or our task is to bring them whilst Jesus' part is to save them. Write it. Write it so that I know you are here. Your part is to what? Bring them. And Jesus' part is to do what? Is to save them. Is to save them. Let's look at example. Thank you. I have 6 minutes to wrap up. Somebody is blessed. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. And then John 6, 37. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28 to 29. Jesus said that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy what? And I'll give you what? Rest. God wants to give the people who are also outside the rest that you have. So he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lonely in heart. And ye shall find what? Rest for your soul. John chapter number 6, verse number 37. Quickly. Jesus prayed and said that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise do aught cast away. So your work is to bring the people so that Jesus will give them what? Rest. Hallelujah. For their soul. Your work is to invite the people. And Jesus is saying that there is no one that come to me that I will do what? I will cast away. Somebody is blessed. Now, so Your task is to do what? Oh, speak back to me. Your task is to do what? And then Jesus' task is to do what? Somebody's blessed. Now, I want to give you the example so that we will understand better before we finally go. Go with me to Luke chapter number 14, verse 23. Okay, we've already done that one. Go to Luke 5:8. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 8. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your heart, your net for what? A draught. We remember that encounter. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled, hallelujah, and have taken what? Nevertheless, at thy word, we will do what? Let down the nets. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Now, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ship, so that they began to sink. Now listen to what Jesus said. When Peter, go back please. When Peter, or Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am what? That is not for my reference. Keep on going. Keep on going. And he said, he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had what? Taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, everybody go, fear not. From henceforth, wow. I pray that that will be your portion from today. You will not be catching CDs, counting cash, running after things, but you will be a catcher of men. Every Saturday morning after CTG 10 o'clock, the whole church is joining the outreach and evangelism team for outreach and evangelism. To catch men. How many of you were part of it yesterday? How many of you went yesterday? Be on your feet. Those who were part of the exercise yesterday, be on your feet. Let's put our hands together for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your labor of love will never be in vain. God will take you to another level. You see, Peter was operating on an earthly level. But after the miracle, Jesus said that the same thing you are doing, you are taking it to the next level, which is heavenly and supernatural. May God bless you. Be on your feet. Is anybody blessed here? Hallelujah. Wow. Lift up your hands and thank God for his word. Come on, celebrate him for his word. You want to say, Jesus, send me and I will go. Make me a fisher of men. Make me a fisher of men. Come on, open your mouth. There is somebody around you that must be saved. There is somebody in your life that must be saved. There is somebody that must give their life to Jesus. Come on.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.